morning. Good morning, church. It's great to be meeting together. And this morning we are going to be speaking about the church. Christ loved the church. Christ loves you. And Christ wants you to be in his church. And so we're looking forward to looking into God's Word, and you have a piece of paper maybe in your hand that gives an outline of what the church is. It's interesting that Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bibles or if you have your phone scripture. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was in the northern part of Israel, in Caesarea Philippi. Been there, stood there. And Caesarea Philippi, it was a city that was built by Philip Herod. He wasn't a terribly great guy. And he wanted to build this city to honor Caesar and to honor himself. And so he called it Caesarea, after Caesar, Philippi, Philip. And in that place was a place that worshipped idols for centuries. And the false god there was Pan, the god of the underworld. And Jesus took that moment to ask the question of his disciples. He said, "So, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter came forward with a great answer. And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "You got that answer from my Father." And he said, "And upon this testimony of who I am as the Son of the living God, I will build my church." The church is not in the Old Testament. That might be a surprise to you. But Jesus was going to build his church. And who are we? We call ourselves the church. Is it the building that we walked into, the cement and the boards? No. This is where the church meets. You are the church. Those of you who have put your faith and trust in what Peter said, you are the living God. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we become members of his church. So when we look into the Bible and read that passage again, I just read it to you. When Jesus came to the region of Philippi, Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." So today we want to talk about the church, and Ross Hinter and I have been studying a book, and it's The Measure of a Man. And in chapter 7, it came to the story of five young married men who went to Ecuador. They were brethren people. They're from the people that kind of worship similar to what we do. And when they went to Ecuador, they reached out to the Elca Indians, of that region. And they made friends with him on a beach. And they landed their plane there. But the result of that was pretty incredible. And in our communion service, we sang the hymn that they sang. And that hymn was, "We rest in you, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in your strength, safe in your keeping tender. We rest on you, and in your name we go." When they landed their plane, it seemed that the Elka Indians made like they were being friendly, but they attacked him, and all of those five young married men laid down their life there. They died on that beach. And I heard about that 3 years after they did, as a young person. And it changed my life. You see, we are called on as a church. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." So we're called to bear a cross. In Hebrews chapter 12, we are called to run a race as a Christian. The race is set before us. It's a long distance race. There are difficulties, but that race that we're in is being witnessed by a cloud of successful competitors. They are in the crowd, and they say, "You can do it. Run your race. Run your race for God." And that's found in Hebrews. But it's also found in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. "Then we have a crown to win." There's reward for living our life for God. That's good news. Sometimes we forget that there are rewards. And how many of you have kids here in Awana? Nobody? How many have kids here in Awana, or you have been a kid in Awana? Or you are a leader of kids in Awana? Yeah. And you know that 2 Timothy 2:15 is the key verse. "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly cutting straight the word of God." We are to study God's word. And we have a race to run. We have a crown to win. But we have a cross also to bear. The church is made up of only believers in Jesus Christ. There's many, many buildings, and they may have a name on it that says this is a church of whatever. But only the people that are really believers in Christ, in those churches, are part of the body or the part of the church of Jesus Christ. And if Paul were writing to us, he would write to the church in Westlock, in the Gospel Chapel, to the believers in Westlock. And it would include not just those that are here this morning in the chapel, but everyone who is part of his family through faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one church. Jesus Christ is the head of that church. And we, as the Bible tells us, we are his body. And if you have that little piece of paper, you should really just scrub out A. It's his. We are his building. We are his body. But we are also his bride. We are called to bring love and honor and glory to our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you had your Bible and could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he addresses the church, the local church. That local church was in Corinth. That was the city. And he's writing to it and he says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to the church that is in Barhead, to the church that is in Westlock, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And that word is called to be holy. And God makes us holy. Only he can make us holy. Who in every place call on the name of the Lord. So we have the local church in Corinth, and we have the universal church that is in every place. And there's people worshiping the Lord Jesus in China, maybe in underground churches. There's probably more Christians in China than any other country in the world. That might be a surprise. But in 1954, when communism took over in China, they think that there was a population of perhaps 500,000. And it included everybody who said they were Christians, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. Persecution happened. And now they don't know. The church in China may be 150 million or more. So the church is universal. I have had a little brother whose burden was to reach people in Iran. And so he, I don't know if you learn Farsi or not, but he sent all kinds of literature through, whether it was legal or not. Jesus has said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. There's no place on earth that God doesn't have the right and authority. Jesus doesn't have the right and authority to share the word of God with. That makes Wycliffe people happy, doesn't it? Gives you the right to be there and to share God's word. But Anyway, they think that right now, just recently, that there's been a million come to faith in Christ in Iran. They've had to shut down mosques, like 250 mosques, because there's no people coming. And yet, if you go against what the echelon in Iran say, you could lose your life for being a Christian, for saying that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. But we know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring us salvation. Even right now, there's a terrible thing happening. The Catholic Church says that it doesn't matter what you believe. Every road leads up the mountain to God. And there are Chrislam, which is a church is made up of people who worship Islam and Christianity. But they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's a tragedy. So when we think of the world, are we part of the church of God? Have you put your faith and trust in him? That's really, really important. So the church that we were speaking of from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said he would build his church. And in the book of Acts, after he died on the cross and rose again, for 40 days he was on earth and he was with his disciples. And on the day of Pentecost, Pente means 50, 50 days after Jesus died and rose again is Pentecost. It's also called the Feast of First Fruits. It's just so amazing because on Pentecost, after the disciples, 120 of them, who were in the upper room, waited on God for power, God sent his Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and he came down in a visible way on the people there in tongues of fire. And Peter got up and preached, and 3,000, the Bible says, came to faith in Jesus Christ that day. So the church then was 3,120. That's a pretty good start. And their people, the church is made up of people who have put their faith and trust in Christ. And if you took your Bible and read Acts chapter 2, you would find in Acts chapter 2. I'll just go there. We find at the end of chapter 2 that it says, so these 3,000 continued daily, and there were miracles and wonders done by the apostles, and all of them were together in unity. That's one thing that happens and should happen in the body of Christ. There should be unity, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings unity in his church. And in verse 47 it says, and they were all together praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added daily. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? If every day we had somebody coming to faith in Christ in our church, that's amazing. And by Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, it says that the church had grown to be 5,000. There was another 2,000 that had come to faith in Christ through the witness of those people. Wow. So people who are in the church, who have put their faith in Christ, are part of Christ's building. You are his building. This is his building. Yes, it is. It's a place where we meet. But as believers, we are his building. And we are his body. We have a body, right? Made up of members in your body, hands, and we do different things. We're gifted in different ways. We don't all have the ability to do certain things in the body. Certain people are called on to be preachers or pastors or workers or givers, or these are all things that God calls us to do in the body. But we are called on to live our life for Christ. And so we have a number of different pictures of the church as a building, as a bride, as the foundation we are to build on the teaching of the Word of God. We are committed here in this church to preach God's Word and to tell you that to be part of the church of God, you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And once you are, you become a member of his body. And that church began on the day of Pentecost. And as we read, it grew rapidly. And even as we look out today, my ethnic background of my father was Norwegian. My grandmother was Scottish. My mom's family were Irish, but somehow we all, or not all of us, but I know that there is a number of our family came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so good news, because when we die and on Friday afternoon, we celebrated the fact that Charles Saunders, he left this world at 86, and he died, and we know that death is only a change of address for those who are believers. We have and do look forward to that blessed hope. Now, what is that? What is the blessed hope that believers can look forward to? It's being forever with the Lord. Do you have parents? Do you have grandparents that are in heaven already? I hope so. And if not, we have a work to do. We have a work to share. And we have to build on the firm foundation. You'll see on your sheet that there is a foundation, and the Apostle Paul had to address those in Corinth. And in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, it says, in verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers." We get the joy of working for God while we do our other kinds of jobs, whether we're on the farm or whether we're whatever we are, we can do that job for God. You are God's field. That's a good agricultural term, isn't it? What do you do in a field, Jeff? You work it. You plant it. You decide on the crop there. And And then in this verse it says, we are God's fellow workers in the church. We are God's fellow workers because there's a field that we need to tell people about, that Jesus is coming again, and they need to come to faith in Christ, right? We want to see everyone come to know the Lord. And there's plenty of room for everyone on planet Earth to go to heaven. In fact, in Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God wants you there with him in heaven. He's made provision through his Son, through Christ's death on the cross, to take you to heaven. So what's holding you up? We can be part of his family. That's another picture that the church is part of God's family, his household. And so he is building his church out of people. People are living stones that are attracted and brought together, so that we, as living stones, can make up. And the Bible talks about his temple. We are called to be members of his body and be a temple so that we can worship him and thank him. Thank him that he came and took our place on the cross. So there's a whole number of snapshots, if you will, in the Bible. And in this chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, "As the master builder, I have laid the foundation. Others build on it." 20 centuries later, we are building on the foundation of what the Apostle Paul laid. And that foundation is told in in chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, for other foundations can no one lay that is already laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. So it all comes back to Christ. We all want to worship, and we all want to be part of his family. And so we sometimes have to wait a long time for people to come to that realization. I remember coming back from Bible school, and my father was all alone on the farm. Dad was a good farmer. But when I came back, he was pretty stressed. And he said, and I remember that so clearly, he said, I don't think that God has destined me to come to faith in him. I said, oh, Dad, you are in a good place. Because at that point, my father was in a place where he was wanting and needing to look up. And, of course, if God is casting his vote that he doesn't want any to perish, that would also mean my dad. And my dad did come to faith in the Lord. And I don't think it was me either. It was Jesus. It was Jesus that brought him to a place where he surrendered his heart. And so as we look at the church is a building, but it's a building made up of living stones who are people. We are members of his body. The body is made up of many members, millions. We don't know how many, but one body, it's Jesus' body that we're brought into. There's one foundation, and it's the foundation that the Apostle Paul was talking about. The foundation is Jesus Christ himself. And he said he would build his church. He's still building his church. But one day, it'll be too late. It'll be too late to join the Church of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Thessalonians, and we believe that in Christ's imminent return, he could come before this service is over. He could come, and in the twinkling of an eye, those who are alive would be caught up, but the dead in Christ would be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain would be caught up. And so, will we ever be with the Lord? And the Bible says, so comfort one another with these words. If you know the Lord and he comes back, we're out of here. We are gone. There's never been a jet plane that will leave the earth at the speed that those who are believers will. But it will take us to a place, a heavenly home. If we have aches and pains, the Bible says that one day we will be raised and we will no longer have aches and pains. We will no longer die because we have a heavenly body. So, but if you haven't trusted in Christ, the church will be completed one day when Jesus comes back for his church and takes them to be with him in heaven. And then there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be a bride supper, just like if you had a bridal supper at your wedding. Jesus was going to have some great supper in heaven, isn't he? And as we look at the church, we know that the church is also given responsibilities. The church has given us qualifications for those who are to be leaders in the church. The word in the King James the New King James or whatever is bishop, and that word bishop has taken on a different meaning. A bishop is just an elder, somebody who is qualified to lead the church. And so in First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through 7, it gives the qualifications of those who lead the church. And they're high qualifications. And they make us feel that we are unqualified for those who stand as elders. As it can be translated as pastors. As the word is also used as bishops, but it's only elders. We are just to lead his body. It says in Timothy, chapter 3, it says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of God will run swiftly and be glorified as it is with you, and that you may deliver." Thessalonians. First Timothy chapter 3. "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of a bishop or an elder, he desires a good work." And then it gives the qualifications of elders. They must be blameless. It doesn't say perfect. It says blameless. Husband of one wife. Temperate. Sober-minded. Of good behavior. Hospitable. Able to teach. Not greedy for gain. Gentle. Not quarrelsome. And it says that we're not to be given to wine or any addiction. That is the quality of eldership. We are to be able to look at ourselves and say, "Lord, we have a church to lead, and to lead for your glory. We're only under shepherds. You are the chief shepherd in heaven. And we look to you as elders here at the Westlaw Gospel Chapel to lead and ask and pray and look to God to lead us. And by God's grace that we can do that." There's elders and deacons. And we make up, as a body, the church of the living God. And the church is of the living God. And we seek Christ in worship, and the church is to be the pillar and the groundwork of truth. We are to follow Jesus Christ, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. How are we doing? Lord, be merciful to us and lead us so that our church would continue to grow. There's no explanation of how God is at work here, except Jesus Christ is alive and doing a work in our midst. Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for the Church of Jesus Christ. We are your building. We are living stones. We are your body. We are joined together in love one for another. And we have brothers and sisters bigger than our own families that we love, and we are loved by them. We are part of the bride of Christ to worship and thank you, Lord. We know that the only way to heaven is through your death on the cross, and you were buried and you rose again to bring us into a relationship so that we can go to be with you in heaven like Charlie Saunders. Lord, Yes, funerals are sad, but oh, they're wonderful as well, because we go to live with you forever. Lord, bless us as a congregation, and may you expand your work, not just in Westlock, not just in Edmonton, not just in Alberta, not just in Canada, but across every language. And we thank you for what you're doing in Iran. Lord, we praise you and thank you. We thank you that you can save the worst of sinners, and you can save those that don't maybe qualify for, like Paul called himself, the chief of sinners. But Lord, we are all on a level plane. We all are sinners, and we all need to be saved by your grace. So do a mighty work here, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,